Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Crystal R. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, March 25th, 2024. This is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book Meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter, Bill's Story, on page 11, the first paragraph. It begins with, "To Christ I conceded," reading through that one paragraph, ending with, "The rest I disregarded." Today's readers are Karen W. for the 12 steps, Bonnie B. for the 12 traditions, Tamara C. will be reading the text, Marge O. will be reading page 164, and Colleen M. will be our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter will be Loretta M., and the second hour host is Maria F. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, March 24th, 8:30 a.m. special edition meeting is 21,251. 21251. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps. Morning, Karen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Katy, Texas. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen W. I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida. Gratefully recovered by the grace of God for today, but never cured. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And finally, 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to practice, to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for allowing me to do service, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Bonnie B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know. Pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Bill's Story on page 11, the first paragraph, which begins with, "To Christ I conceded," and ends with, "The rest I disregarded." I will now ask Tamara C. to begin the reading. Morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Crystal. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him. His moral teaching, most excellent. For myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. So to me, this is all part of Bill, like, taking inventory of, like, his ideas about a spiritual life, looking at, you know, what, asking himself, what have been my experiences, what has made sense to me, what have I disregarded, what are my prejudices, the parts that were convenient, the parts I shut my mind against. And how's that been working for me? And what does it mean that here is my friend telling me of a simple spiritual program, and he is miraculously changed? And so because Bill is in a place where he's cornered, he's full of doom, despair, fear, regret, self-pity, he is dying and he knows it, and he can't do anything about it. He's willing to challenge his old ideas because of this miracle sitting in his kitchen, and he dares to hope that there might be a similar miracle for him. So he's ready to open his heart and see, you know, well, what can I look at in the idea of a spiritual life? What can work for me? So I relate to this in that I got to inventory my old spiritual ideas that didn't work for me. Every time I would do a fourth step, working on my fourth step with, or fifth step with my sponsor, or do a 10th step, my sponsor encourages me to include in the dishonesty part where's the lie about God? And there were a lot of lies about God that were driving my fears and resentments. And as I heard in yesterday's beautiful special edition, like one of the big main lies for me, it has always been, I can't trust God. I can't trust God to really know me, to really understand me and what I need, to be there for me, to like me and care about me. And so because I wanted a new experience, I was willing to open my mind and heart to new ideas about a higher power. And I learned a lot by just hearing people share or calling recovered people and hearing their experience or listening to people's 10 steps. And I was able to develop and grow, and I still am growing in coming to believe and a higher power who knows me, likes me, wants to help me, is always right here, knows better than I do what I need and is able to provide that, cares about the people that I care about even more than I do. And what it all boils down to, what I'm coming to believe as I practice day by day, is that I can trust God. And because of that, I can trust myself. And I will pass it on.
Thanks so much, Tamara C., for getting us started. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday last week on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to approximately 3 minutes to allow as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your 3 minutes are up, so please wrap up your share as best as you can. Who would like to share today?
Katie G. from Boston.
Tanya D.
Melissa C.
Lauren Grace B. Lauren Grace B., New Jersey.
Janice P. from Massachusetts.
Elena C.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Elena. I got you. I think I missed one person. So I've got Katie G., Tanya D., Melissa C., Lauren Grace B., Janice PM, and Elena C. Did I miss someone?
Nancy C.
Great. I've got you, Nancy. All right. That's a great lineup. Let's get started there. So I've got Katie G., Tanya D., Melissa C., Lauren Grace B., Janice PM, Elena C., and Nancy C. Please give me your first name, the initial of your last name, and location where you are when you share, so we can find you on the member list. If I could ask everybody to please press star 1 to mute your line, we'll get started with Katie G., followed by Tanya D. Morning, Katie.
Hey, good morning, Crystal. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Katie G., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. I love this line, I adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. And I looked up convenient, and it says, fitting my needs, activities, and plans. And that is so true. Like, food fit my needs, my activities, and plans. And when things stopped working, I would lower my expectations of my life so that it would fit my needs, my activities, and my plans. But how easy is it for me to do that? Like I just don't, and that background noise is not mine. I just don't want to do what I don't want to do. I disregard people, I'm prejudiced. You know, I love in We Agnostics, it talks about our prejudice, that is what gets in the way each and every time. And my prejudice, I've come to learn, is anything that I think I know. It's not what I don't know. It's everything I'm positively convinced that I think I know. And as a recovered woman today, you know, am I practicing the willingness to bear discomfort? Do I want to change today? And there are many things as a recovered woman that I have faced in the past year. So for example, like I know that exercise bulimia isn't a great idea and that the Apple Watch triggers me, right? but I wasn't willing. It wasn't convenient for me. The Apple Watch was still doing something for me. I wasn't willing to see what it was doing to me, or getting on the scale repeatedly, multiple times a day. I wasn't willing to see what it was doing to me. I only wanted it to do what it needed to do for me. Or like when I was just getting abstinent 20 years ago, it was like I was chewing $400 worth of gum a month. And I knew that gum caused cancer, but it wasn't convenient for me to acknowledge that it caused cancer. So I disregarded that, and that keeps me blocked. And today, thanks be to God, because of step 10, because of looking at repeated inventory, repeated humiliations, repeated like recognizing sort of waking I'm the problem, that I'm doing everything wrong, and that God is the solution, I can get unblocked, right? Like I can let go of an Apple Watch that's driving me. I can let go of the scale that I feel like I need to make me feel okay. I can let go of trying to control people, places, and things, and be a healthy, happy, recovered woman today. Today, I do not suffer from compulsive eating. I do not suffer from the malady of my illnesses, but I do need to remember, like, my life today is contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And I have to remember that my prejudice do get in my way if I'm not
time,
careful.
Please.
And with that, I pass. Thank you, Crystal.
Thanks, Katie G, for getting us started. Next, we've got Tanya D, followed by Melissa C. Go ahead, Tanya.
Hi, this is Tanya D, a recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Thanks for your service, Crystal. And what also the same line jumped out to me about adopting just the parts that seem convenient and not too difficult, and disregarding the rest. It reminds me of the slogan we sometimes hear in program: take what you like and leave the rest. And for me, I have to turn that into like, take what I need and leave the rest, right? Not necessarily what strikes me as, oh, this is something that I would really like to do. And I'm really grateful that I had the willingness when I came into program to realize that, you know, what I liked and didn't like what seemed convenient and not too difficult, really did not work for me. I had tried a lot of those solutions that were, you know, convenient and not too difficult, and they got me to the rooms of OA. So, yeah, if I'm to recover and stay recovered, I need to be willing to do the things that are inconvenient and feel difficult. And the good news is I found that it's not like, okay, I have to, you know, train and climb Mount Everest. It's actually much simpler than that. But even now, you know, I find I do still have this tendency to want to do, there's a great line in the OA step 3 that we will no longer want to do just what we feel like doing or what we think we can get away with. And I know one of my character defects is to kind of to lean toward doing what I feel like doing or what I can think I can get away with. You know, this is one reason why in some ways, like, I can hurt my loved ones the worst, and I can be much nicer to people in program or just strangers and have to make amends to my loved ones because I think I can get away with, you know, being not as kind and loving to them. And I don't want to be that way. And I need to ask God's help for it too, because I'm sure this is like a character defect that who knows how long it'll be with me. So I appreciate like just the honesty that Bill is bringing to this because it helps me relate and identify my own tendencies that don't work for me and what I need to do instead. Thanks. That'll pass.
Thanks so much, Tanya D from Illinois. Next, we have Melissa C, followed by Lauren Grace B.
Hey, good morning, Crystal. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I want the best, what's going to give me the best bang for my buck. You know, what's going to be the easiest for me. And I think that's, you know, part of that is just a natural, normal way of doing things, right? Like, I want easy. I want convenient. I want easy. I want it to fit into my life, and I don't want to have to exert any effort. And that is very much how I felt about God, you know? Whenever I would contemplate God, it should be like, you know, like wave the magic wand and just grant me what I want. And, you know, there's this incredible gift that we get when we're crushed by our self-imposed crisis, you know, and for me, that was, I'm going to require a miracle. And I know that people, when they know that they need a miracle, they're not really all that worried about convenient and easy. They'll do anything. And, you know, that's how I had to look at, not just my relationship with God, because I had to rightly relate myself to God. And that meant sitting myself into how I can be of maximum usefulness, not him fitting himself into how he can be useful for me. And I had to look at that OA like that. You know, I always wanted OA light. I wanted to be able to go to a meeting once a week and get my food maybe, you know, during the week if I felt like it, and having the weekend off and doing minimal amount of work and yet, you know, getting away. And that's not my experience, you know. So I know from my own sense, my recovery, you know, whenever I share with people what it is I do, what I found out is that there was a lie that I thought that happiness would come from having the least amount to do. I always thought like, oh, that's hard and that's not going to make me happy. Actually, that's not the truth, that I actually feel my happiness isn't like hijacked by having to do things that are hard. I actually am happy when I feel like I'm living in agreement with my purpose. And that doesn't seem to matter how hard it is. It just, I get relieved, you know, when I'm living in agreement with God's purpose. And so when people say, God, you have to do an awful lot being recovery, that's hard. That's really hard. I never disagree. It sure does. It is a lot of work. I mean, anybody that has the kind of recovery that I've valued, that I've looked up to, all of them are working hard, but they're living in agreement with God's purpose. And, yeah, thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next, we have Lauren Grace B., followed by Janice P.M.
Good morning, everybody. This is Lauren Grace B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from South Jersey. And when I read this paragraph, I just think, boy, this was me when I came into the program. I claimed to follow Christ, but I was not living like it. People couldn't see it from, I don't know if people couldn't see it. I played a good game, but certainly my family couldn't see it. So first of all, how did he live? Patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And those were not hallmarks of my life. Before I got recovered, I followed religious laws and rules, man-made, not even in the scripture. And I was not a person of love. And also adopting the parts that seem convenient. Yeah, you know, I didn't really struggle to get abstinent because I didn't want to be heavy. So that part of the program wasn't too incredibly difficult for me. But living a life of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love, it just wasn't apparent. And that's what the steps did for me. The steps took me through a process of admitting my faults and failure, showing me where I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and fearful. Most of my character defects were driven by self-centered fear. And just as Christ gave himself into the Father's hands, once the program showed me that I could not run my own life, that I was powerless over my own life, and God could take all my troubles, all my fears, all my kids, and work everything out according to his plan, that's when things really turned around. So I am so grateful for this program that has allowed me to, and encouraged me and empowered me through God to love others as my higher power loves me. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Lauren Grace B. Next, we have Janice PM, followed by Elena C.
Well, good morning to you again, Crystal. This is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater here living in Massachusetts. Well, this paragraph is really outstanding if we, to me. First of all, you know, Bill here now is struggling. He's between step one and step two. And I can identify here with Bill. But, you know, to get from one to two, it's a process. Now, with my experience, I had faith, you know, when I came in here and I believed in Christ or whoever you believed in, whatever your religion is or your ideas. But, you know, I agreed with this, that he was, you know, he had truthful teachings. But, you know, my problem was control in everything. And, you know, I just had another deep, deep spiritual awakening recently. And it happened to be in my religion on, you know, this whole week and last week coming out of a hospital. And, you know, what was my problem? I trusted this higher power, but did I? See, I didn't want to give up control. That was my problem. I could say, oh, yeah, ask God, ask this, you know, but I had to really agree with that I needed to rely on. Why did I need to rely and depend on a higher power? Well, because I needed to. Because I couldn't do it myself. So we see the process unrolling here that he's going from step one to step two, but he's struggling. He's struggling in his mind, you know. He was blaming God for his drinking. He was blaming God for his finances. But, you know, I did the same thing. But it wasn't God's fault, it was my fault. He gave me free will. So Bill's attitude towards religion here is starting to change. His thinking was full of prejudices, full of judgments like mine. So I felt like, well, I can do this myself. Yeah, oh, the OA program is great. But for myself, well, certain things aren't convenient for me. And how arrogant of me, right? Because of my selfishness. And of course, another miracle happened for me. The more failure I have, even though I'm abstinent and I have abstinent foods, because of my medical issues, I had to change all that, the types of foods. And you know, failure brings opportunity. So the more desperate I am, the better off I am, because then I really need a higher power. And so, you know, I was always trying to intellectually rationalize and justify, well, all kinds of excuses. So now, of course, you know, the question for me is, do I have a need for a higher power?
Time, please.
Certainly. You betcha. And this is Bill's dilemma. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Next, we've got Elena C., followed by Nancy C.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep. All good to go.
My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. And yeah, it's a really nice paragraph. And here's what comes up for me when I read it. There were many, many teachings, moral teachings from the religion I grew up in, you know. And my parents, especially my mother, did the best she could to encourage me to, you know, go to church, to encourage me to pray, to whatever. The addict in me at that time and, you know, for a long time I got to a point where whatever she said or whatever they said, I did the opposite. So those were the parts that I took, you know, like now spirituality, though, in those times was not religion. So whatever religion was that, I was not necessarily spirituality, because spirituality to me is whatever I practice today. How am I with the world? All right. So what I took from those people, my mother, you know, my neighbors, my friend, my family, there, I mean, generosity. I really learned generosity. And that's a religious, but a spiritual teaching, a spiritual value, something that I have to practice, right? So it's not a knowledge. They wanted me to have the knowledge, which I resisted. But there was a lot that I got from that it was not necessarily knowledge. It's just a way of being. And having said that, I did not get other principles that they were, you know, they were passing it on because they were telling me what to do, you know, and I did not like that. I'm like, I'm doing it my own way. And in many, many ways, that is a fundamental need of a child and teenager growing up. For me, however, it was taken to the extreme because I was an addict. You know, that's just how I was born. Don't tell me what to do. And another thing is, for me today, that those moral teachings that I have to pass it on is how, for example, how others are helped if I practice self-relaxation, calm. How are they helped? This is what my reflection is to be on. If I practice this, how, in what way it helps others? Staying present, I can listen to others because, you know, the addict inside of me has a tendency to say, well, practice this so then you get your way, you know. So it does not work that way. And as we see Bill growing, from now on, he's growing, he's growing self-awareness. That is growth. That is growth. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Elena C. Next, we have Nancy C., and then I'll be taking a few more names. Go ahead, Nancy.
Good morning, Crystal. Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And boy, what a great meeting, and the shares have been amazing. I used to want to be unique, and I'm not unique in this program, and I'm really glad I'm not unique in this program. You know, this is my close is good enough paragraph, and that's the story of my life. It was always close is good enough. With religion, going to church, picking up what I wanted to, not picking up what I wanted to, God would save me, close was good enough, right? When I came into dieting and exercising, I would get almost to the end of the diet, and then close would be good enough because a holiday would come up or something, or I would get to my goal weight and then I was done and what worked for me never worked again. And when I read this paragraph today and I think of all the times that for me, my MO is close is good enough. I want convenient stuff. I want the easier, softer way. And I don't want to go through everything. And I've been blessed in my whole life to get close to anything, finishing a goal, getting to something, and then moving on to something else because it gets hard, right? And in this program, I have learned, you know, the truisms of every word in this book just means so much. The half measures availed us nothing. I learned in this program once I got in that close was good enough didn't work. For 8 years, I languished with close is good enough. I would not eat sugar until I went on a vacation. And well, you know, it's okay, I'm on a vacation. I'll get back when I'm on. Close is good enough. Not for me, not today. I can't eat sugar to save my life. Close is good enough. I'll go to meetings until I go on vacation or it's inconvenient. Well, I'll get back to them, but I'm still working the program. I wasn't in the program. Today, I know close is not good enough. I have had that fundamental belief in a God. He has saved me with the closeness is good enough all the time. He has been there. He's been obscured by pomp and circumstance and calamities of life. But he has saved me to the point where I do need to work every day at this program and work it to the best of my ability. Close doesn't cut it anymore. It has to be as best as I can do every day to be able to get closer to my creator. Bill saw Ebby sitting there. He was different. Close was good enough. Didn't work for Ebby anymore. Or it didn't work for Bill anymore. He's going to see that he has to concede to himself that there's got to be an answer here. And it's really going all in and following directions to the best of my ability. Thank God when I see myself do close enough today, this fellowship tells me can keep working. The benefits are just beyond my wildest dreams. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Nancy C. All right. Before we continue, let me remind everyone where we're at. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 11, the first paragraph that begins with, "To Christ I conceded," reading through that one paragraph, ending with, "The rest I disregarded." And we will be commenting on just that one paragraph. I'll now take another set of names. If you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Maya. Maya K.
Marcia D.
Jim F.
I've got Maya.
Roz G.
Jim F.
Maya K, Jim S, Marcia D, and Roz G. Did I miss anyone?
Lisa B. T.
Got you, Lisa. Would anybody else like to share?
Sharon B.
I've got Sharon B, and there was someone in the background.
Amy G.
I got you, Amy. I can take one more person. All right,
Ruben,
let's get started. All right, I got you, Ruben. Thank you. Okay, so here's our list. We've got Jim S., Marcia D., Roz G., Lisa BT, Sharon B., Amy G., and Ruben H. Please give us your first name, the initial of your last name, and location when you share so we can find you on the member list. If I could ask everybody to please press star 1 to mute your line, we'll get started with Maya K., followed by Jim S. Hi, Maya. Maya, press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, just star 1. Hi, I'm Maya K., compulsive overeater and bulimic in recovery. And I haven't shared in a long time, but so I just jumped on. And I really like this paragraph. It really reminds me of just like how I've changed as a person since I've come into the rooms over time, and how just, you know, being a better person has made me, I don't know, it's just made me more sane that I don't want to eat over anything. You know, I want to do the right things. And I just feel better about myself and the steps that I've been through. And, you know, right now I'm dealing with like old stuff, and just feeling very, I don't know, whatever, just feeling very alone sometimes, and like the chatter that goes on in my head, and I feel like God always, I don't know, like I just have to keep trusting God is what I thought when I read the paragraph, and I even, while I was listening to some of you, I wrote a two-way prayer, and I just felt like God just told me, you know, you got to trust, you know, and just I can't always see what's in front of me, and and just things that try to bring me down. And I just feel like this program has made me new again, because I feel like a lot of the things I feel inside it wanted to bring me down as a person, you know, making me feel worthless. And I'm just hanging in there and doing the best I can, and not picking up, and really just trying to be a good person no matter how, you know, mean people can be. I find it like a challenge almost, but it can be hard, you know. And my sponsor just keeps saying, sometimes she's very religious. She'll say, you know, Jesus felt like that too sometimes, you know, like rejected or made fun of or whatever, when other people don't see your views or whatever. And so I'm hanging in there, you know. I have a lot to be grateful for, you know. I have special people in my life who do love me, and I just try to make a gratitude list and trust God. And that's about it. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Maya K. Next, we've got Jim S., followed by Marsha D.
Good morning. This is Jim F., like Frank in Illinois. Thanks, everyone, for your comments. What I'm thinking about this morning with that paragraph is my journey in these 12 steps. And something I heard in my first program almost two decades ago was, you know, if you're struggling with a step, go back to the previous step and see where you're at with that one. And so, you know, I think we're looking at step two today with this paragraph. And forever and ever and ever, I've been like, oh, I don't know about God, and who, you know, is my God strong enough, and didn't take the time to develop the relationship and wasn't even sure it was real and blah, 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 lots of prejudice from the past. So I thought I was struggling with God. And what a vision sponsor pointed out to me not too long ago is, you know, hey, maybe you're not taking this serious enough. So maybe, you know, and I had to look back and say, you know, this is a step one thing. Do I really think I'm powerless? Am I like everybody else? So what do you mean I can't eat my red foods sometimes? Why? I think I can do it. And so the point for me is it wasn't a God thing. I've always believed in, you know, higher power in some way, shape, or form. And there's a wide window here that we can, you know, pick our own higher power. And I've believed in that. But I made up in my head it was a God problem. If it only wasn't for this God thing, I'd be okay. Well, no, it was really step one. I really hadn't fully conceded to my innermost self that I was a food addict or overeater. And the delusion that I was like other people or presently made be had to be smashed. And so it was really a step one issue, although I thought it was step two. So, you know, if you're newer and you're struggling with a step, maybe talk to your sponsor about going back a step, or just go back a step and see, you know, where am I at with the previous step or steps? And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim F. Next, we have Marsha D., followed by Roz G.
Hi, this is Marsha D. I'm wondering if Roz would like to go, and then I could go after Roz.
Sure. Roz G., would you like to go first?
Sure. Thank you. Hi, my name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is the Los Angeles County. And just to say that, you know, for me, Christ is everything. That's my religious practice. But, with, you know, here for the program and talking about this paragraph, I cannot disregard anything in this program, not anything. And I, of course, I did the cafeteria style program, and I did everything that everybody has mentioned. But I have learned, you know, throughout the years, and especially through OA, through the Big Book and studying the Big Book versus just going to meetings and sharing about my life and listening to everybody else's life and not really looking at what the problem is and what, you know, what the problem is that that I have an eating problem, that if I ingest certain foods, that I'm going to have the problem of the, you know, the double whammy, 4 o'clock in the morning, so all the words aren't coming to me. So I'll just say the obsession of the mind and the physical craving. You know, if I ingest those foods again, then I'm just going to go right back into the food. I did not want to look at that. I did not want to look at my attitude, the need for an attitude adjustment, that I was selfish and self-centered, that I just was completely self-absorbed, that self-pity ran my life, that my emotions ran my life, that I wanted my way. I didn't know about the 10th step. I didn't know these things. And, you know, when it comes to practicing, you know, sponsoring every day, getting up and praying, doing everything in the program, practicing these principles in all my affairs, I was like, oh, you know, I don't have to do that. Or, you know, my attitude was, I'll do it when I want to do it. But it I don't get to do it when I want to do it. If I do it when I want to do it, I'm sure headed for another relapse. When I get up in the morning nowadays, I'm tired. And sometimes I don't want to deal with having to, you know, to get up and read the book and get on the meetings and sponsor other people. I just want to sleep or just walk or do something for myself. That doesn't work. If I take a long break in between taking somebody through the steps, I'm screwed. So I can't disregard anything. And honestly, it is the light of my life. I really do enjoy working with other people. I really do enjoy sharing on meetings. I really do enjoy listening to meetings, attending meetings. It's my life. It's my life. And I can't disregard any of it. So I'm grateful for this meeting, this program, for OA. I'm forever grateful for all of it. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Roz G. Marsha D., would you like to share now?
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, Roz. I appreciate that. This is Marsha D., recovered in Ohio, and wow, there's just so many good gems in this paragraph. But like Bill, I always believed in a power greater than myself, but I really struggled with my higher power believing in me. I just had a hard time believing that. That was a sticking point for me. The part that really stands out, though, in this reading is I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay all. Wow, that is just amazing to think about, you know, when we think about life purpose, there's a greater purpose, and a greater purpose always at work. And, you know, for me, that's God. And I just see glimpses every day. You know, my sponsor has me do this spiritual practice in the evening. And as part of that, I look at, where did God show up in my day? And, you know, I see him all the time now that I ask that question. Yesterday, my sons went to youth group, and the man that gave a talk to the kids happened to be a guy I went to grade school with for 8 years. And, you know, just seeing, you know, and then I had somebody reach out to me asking me to sponsor them, a dear friend that I've known many years in program, just all the ways that, you know, God brings it full circle. So just grateful. And the other piece that this speaks to for me is, you know, I'm on the 10th step train, and, you know, every 2 weeks we partner with someone new. And I'm always kind of reluctant because every person I've been partnered with, I really get attached and I enjoy the journey with. But, you know, yesterday I was partnered with a new person and we had so much in common. And because of where this person is on their spiritual journey, it was evident why we were paired, you know, that God brought us together at this appointed time for a reason. So again, that purpose, that thread that underlays all. And I like how Bill talks about the spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation. So it's really neat to see his spiritual awakening and him starting to question and continue on his path of recovery. So, all right, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Marsha D. Next, we have Lisa B.T., followed by Sharon B.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the meeting. This is Lisa BT. I'm in Ontario, Canada. And yet, what a great paragraph. I really have loved all the shares. I love where Bill is at. I feel in this paragraph, I feel very much a lot. I've been in program about 20 years, and I've hovered between one and two a lot of that time, even if I was abstinent and so on. I just can really relate to this today. So I wanted to speak up because my experience has been that I deepen my layers of understanding. And this morning, in listening to everybody and in hearing this paragraph, I'm recognizing that I always got the piece about, you know, love and tolerance is our code. I learned that myself in my religious tradition. And so I would try hard to be like that, but by myself, like, you know, not really truly being nourished by my religion at all, really more thinking, oh, well, this is a code. I should try to live by this. And then what would happen around the food is I'd get tired and I'd say, you know what, I actually deserve a break now. And it would always manifest as secretly having something to eat. That was my relief. That was my, but more really, it was my, what I deserved. It was my feeling. And I see that so clearly this morning. I've been really good, so and done what I'm supposed to, so now I get a prize. And I'm quite humbled by that recognition, right? Because it really is the opposite of what the intention, I think, is. And the other image that came to me was the grapevine image. I'm so sort of bowled over by the words that Bill has used and the things that things are called. And this morning, what struck me is I'm not the vine. I'm just a little grape, and that's okay. And I can trust that. That I will be nourished. I will be protected. And that is the prize. And the number of people that will say on this line and over these years, you know, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I realize I've never quite trusted that. It's always been, well, I'll have this nice treat now. That's my dream. And what a small little dream that is. Thanks, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Lisa BT. And next we have Sharon B. And I'm so sorry, Amy and Ruben, I think we'll have to, that's all the time we'll have. So if I could ask you to stick around and share on the second hour, that would be great. Go ahead, Sharon B.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, family, my name is Sharon. Grateful, very grateful, recovered, not cured, compulsive eater. And thanks to everybody that does service on this line and to all those who've shared, you've definitely added to my recovery in my day. Thank you. To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him. And that was my attitude. You know, oh yeah, Christ was great, but look at the people who are following him, and you want me to be with them? You know, I had my list of wrongs humans had done to me. Some, you know, who I had judged as being doing so as a follower of Christ, and this is what they do, then I can't be that. I can't do that. You know, and to me, I seeing it now, it's like a bait and switch. You know, I remember telling my first sponsor that the God thing wouldn't work for me because of that. And I love what I heard shared earlier about stepping back and do I see how powerless I am and that I'm desperate? I mean, if I'm out in the water and I'm drowning, am I going to go, I don't know. I've had the life preserver that was red before. It really doesn't go with my outfit. you know, it didn't do well for me. It's not the one I prefer. You know, people who've used that red preserver, you know, they're not the nicest people. They hit me in the head accidentally. And you know, I mean, it's ridiculous when I think of it. I had to have this. I am so grateful for GOD, that gift of desperation, for absolutely being at that point where I absolutely had to do what I had to do, and I was going to do that. And yes, I am definitely one of those people who adopted, you know, those parts that were convenient, you know, and not too difficult, and just disregard the rest. But isn't it funny how easy I could judge those other people when I was doing exactly the same thing they were? And so grateful for this day and this program. And with that, I shall pass. Sharon B. from Michigan.
Thanks so much, Sharon B. from Michigan. Amy and Ruben, please do stick around to share on the second hour if you can. That's all the time that we have for sharing. Thank you to everyone who shared. And thank you to all our team Monday for the month of March for your service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, March 25th, is 21,252. 21252. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Colleen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, through to keep you until then. Colleen, please press star 1 to unmute. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Marge O., could I ask you to read page 164, please? Marge O., are you able to reach page 164?
This is Maura Z. I'd be happy to read it.
Sorry,
for you.
I thought it was unmuted. Marge O. from Massachusetts, gratefully recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.